It is good to be back among you brothers and sisters. You don't know what you have until you don't have it a lot of times. And I will say that we desperately need your prayers. I know and I hear testimony of many of you offering up prayers for Tricia and I, and we thank you so much for that. I do want us to look to Luke chapter 11 this morning. So if you will take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 11, and I'll read verses 27 and 28 as we begin. Luke chapter 11, verse 27. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Let us pray. Father, we bow to you. And we come to you through Jesus alone, for Jesus is perfect. Jesus lived a sinless life, and yet he died a sinner's death. And so all of us sinners, we come confessing that apart from Jesus, we would have no hope. But with Jesus, we can have great hope. We can have everlasting life, and we can have access to you, Father. And we come asking today for your blessing. Would you bless your word to our hearts and our minds? Lord, would you bless each one that they might truly hear your word this morning? And Lord, more than that, would you bless each one that they might truly keep your word. Lord, I confess my weakness and inability. Lord, I thank you that you have chosen to use the weak things of the world to confound the wise. And so, Lord, would you speak to us, for your servants are listening. It's through Jesus, by his name and his power and his perfect blood, that I pray this prayer. Amen. Amen. It is good to be back with you, and it is good to have a time with you in the Word, for that is the best time that we can have together. As he said these things, that woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." People have many ideas of blessedness. People have many ideas of true blessedness. And here in verse 27, we have the reason that Jesus will, in verse 28, speak about true blessedness. This woman raised her voice. I would imagine that she had observed Jesus' power. Where was Jesus' power on display? It was casting out that demon from the one who was mute, but then spoke. I would imagine that the woman raised her voice as a result of hearing this powerful teaching. For Jesus did not teach like the scribes, for he taught as one who had authority. His teaching had power. And you know, I don't think it was Jesus' tone of voice that made the power. I hear many times when a preacher is commented about, they say, "Wow, he's a powerful preacher." And that's if he's loud, you know. If he screams and jumps around and slaps the pulpit, they think there's power. But I think that the power comes when it is the truth going forth. And I think it is the true power when the Holy Spirit takes that truth and applies it to a heart. So may God powerfully work now. As Jesus was ministering, this woman got the message, at least to some degree. She was stirred to the point that she said, "Your mother is really a blessed woman. She's a blessed woman." She had the opportunity to carry you in her womb and raise you up. This woman that gave birth to you, she must be blessed. Your mother must be happy. Because her own flesh and blood is able to do these mighty works and to give this mighty teaching. We would say, or we could say, what this woman is communicating is, God must have shown your mother great favor. And so I have a question. Was Mary blessed? Was Mary blessed? Turn with me back to Luke chapter 1. Many people have different ideas of true blessedness. This woman from the crowd and says that your mother must have been blessed. The question is, was Jesus' mother blessed? Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. In the sixth month, Luke 1, 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Was Mary blessed? I think that there should be no question in our mind that Mary was indeed a blessed woman. Even Elizabeth could recognize that Mary was blessed. A little further there in Luke chapter 1, look in verse 41. Luke 1, 41. "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" Elizabeth recognized that the fact that Mary was blessed. And I would say, based on Scripture saying the angel communicated the favor of God was upon Mary, Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit communicating and saying that you are blessed, that we would all have to agree that Mary was a very blessed woman. She was blessed to be chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. And so these verses in Luke chapter 1 give us an idea that this blessing was not merely based upon biological relationship. We want to understand the blessing. We want to understand the blessing, of course, that Jesus is communicating in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. And so let's also understand something about the blessing upon Mary. Mary's blessing included a spiritual dimension. The angel told Mary in chapter 1, verse 28, look back there, Luke chapter 1, verse 28. This angel came and said, "Greetings, O favored one." Listen to this. "The Lord is with you." The Lord is with you. You want to talk about blessing. If the Lord is with you and his favor is upon you, that is blessing. We know that Mary was blessed also because she submitted to the Lord. Look in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Luke 1, 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant, bondservant." Some even choose to translate slave of the Lord. "Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary was blessed because she would submit to the Lord's plans. We must understand this is a true, true form of blessedness that comes from the Lord alone. Do we always find ourselves in a position of submitting to the plans of the Lord? Mary was blessed. Also, when Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, we find in verse 45 of chapter 1, "And blessed is she," Luke 1:45, "blessed is she who believed." Who believed. And she believed that what the Lord had spoken would come to pass. She believed that what God said through the angel would be fulfilled. This will happen. She was blessed to the point that she believed. Was Mary blessed? I think so. But many people have many ideas of true blessedness. Again, the woman in Luke chapter 11, verse 27. And let's go back to Luke 11, 27. This lady's idea of blessing seems to be on a physical or a biological level. She thinks the one that gave birth to Jesus, the one that Jesus raised up, was very blessed. And she thinks the reason is this physical reason. What is your idea of true blessedness? People have many ideas of true blessedness. I want us this morning to have in our mind very clearly what the Scripture describes as blessing. No doubt, Mary was blessed. But I would say that the greatest blessing that Mary experienced was the spiritual blessings, the Lord being with her, God by His grace granting her submission to His plans and His will, the fact that she believed upon the Lord, that actually what the angel said to her would come to pass. What is your idea of true blessedness? Again, the lady seems to limit her idea of blessing upon Mary to be a physical or biological relationship. But Jesus will clarify true blessedness. And so let's look to verse 28 of Luke chapter 11. "But he said," Jesus said, "blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. A couple aspects of this verse for us to think about. The first one is this. It is a blessing to simply hear the word of God. It is a blessing. In order to get the greatest blessing from the Lord, first you must simply hear the word of the Lord. The word of God is the way by which God communicates, right? Let's start at the basics and then let's move to the greatest. We know that we must hear. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Let's just take a little time to turn there. I think it helps us to see these words. In your own translation, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans 10, 13, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. It is a blessing to simply hear the word of God. Not the greatest blessing, but it is a blessing. If you have simply heard the word of God, then you have been blessed at some level. I thought Pastor Mark was going to begin to preach my sermon in the prayer there that he was offering up. But it is true that sometimes we forget how blessed we are. Only by Trisha and I being taken out of this culture, going to a different culture, do we begin to realize some of the blessings that are upon us here in the States and the Bible Belt and in the South. I did not say, though, by simply hearing the word of God, that you have been blessed to the level that Jesus speaks of in verse 28. But let's not forget, have you simply heard the word of God? Now, I want you to think about this. When I ask questions, I hope that causes you to actually engage, one, in the scripture, and two, you think about your own life as it relates to the scripture, right? We don't want to separate the word of God. We want it from our own life. We want the word of God to be filling up our minds to be made new day by day. We want to be feasting upon the word, for we know that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We know that the word of God is profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for training, correction, training in righteousness, that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So when I ask questions, I ask that you would really think about this. Simply hearing the word of God. Do you have a Bible of your own? Do your parents read the Bible to you? Or did your parents read the Bible to you? Have you heard the word of God preached and taught? Do you consider hearing the word of God a great blessing? Everyone in the world has not been blessed with hearing, simply hearing the word of God. Everyone has not received the blessing that I believe that you have received on this level. There are estimates, and you know estimates, only God knows every person in all the world. Only God has the hairs of everyone numbered in all the world. But there are some reasonable estimates nonetheless to consider the hearing of the word of God as it applies to the 7.5 billion people that are supposed to be living on this earth. So I'm going to give you some estimates. This is not an exact number, but the purpose is, one, for us to consider how God has so truly blessed us, and it's also important to consider this need for the Word of God that exists. Think about this, because my prayer is that the Lord would stir us up to good works as we consider this need for the Word. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we walk in them. And so I looked at an article from Joshua Project. The title of the article was, Has Everyone Heard? Has Everyone Heard? And I want to give you some of these estimates, but the estimate is about 6,700 people groups that are considered unreached. Maybe you have heard some of these numbers before. This means that 40% of the world's people groups has no indigenous community of believing Christians able to evangelize the rest of their people group. So there's really not much gospel presence among these people. Some groups, it's not known that there is any gospel presence among these people. It is important to note, as I'm quoting, it is important to note this does not mean that every individual within an unreached people group has never heard of Jesus or understood the message of salvation. So they're not trying to say that. They're saying that there can be, there probably is at many times a small, less than 2% of that population to be truly followers of Christ. But it says that the vast majority of this group, if any exposure to the person of Jesus Christ, would only be very small. And so how can we think about this? I said it's a blessing to simply hear the word of God. So they write, for argument's sake, suppose every true believer among these unreached people groups, suppose that there are 10 who have heard of Jesus but not embraced him. So that would make that unreached people group 20% of them that had heard about Jesus. That still leaves 80 that have not. In other words, possibly 4 out of 5 individuals in an unreached people group are totally unaware of a Messiah. Now, we know that Romans chapter 1 says that everybody has been given some light as it regards who God is in his creation, his eternal power. And therefore, everyone is guilty before God because they have given up the worship of the one true and living God. They gave up the worship of the Creator to begin to worship the creature. So hear me clearly. Everyone stands condemned before a holy and a just God. But that's a staggering figure to consider, that there are this many people. How many people is it? Really, the conclusion of the article is, the estimate is about 2 billion people have not heard the gospel. Not just that they've not heard the gospel and rejected the gospel. That's not the point. The point is that they've never heard the word of God. So 2 billion people have not been blessed to simply hear the word of God. It is a blessing to simply hear the word of God. You were born in a place that is saturated with scripture in many ways. And we need to thank God for this place that we have been born. So we have been blessed on that level, many of us. I haven't discussed with Pastor Mark. I guess I'll give maybe have time for update sometime to the church. So I'll keep moving because I'll save that for update time. But I have had a little exposure to this idea. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus responds to this lady's comment about his mother's blessedness by saying, I don't think that Jesus is denying the blessedness of his mother in the fact in many ways, but true and greatest blessedness, Luke 11, 28, Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So we go to the next level of not simply just hearing the words go into our ears, but it is a blessing to truly hear the word of God. There is a difference between simply hearing the word of God and truly hearing the word of God. We have been thinking about that blessing of simply hearing, but what about the greater blessing of truly hearing? Jesus said these words many times, maybe 8 or 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You remember these words of Jesus many times. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We're starting to get at this blessedness of truly hearing the word of God. Just because you have been blessed with simply hearing the word of God does not mean that you have been blessed with truly hearing the word of God. So every one of us needs to perk up now. If you were zoned out at the first part of the message, that's okay, because you have simply heard the word of God. Brother Justin was preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God this morning, read the Word of God. Pastor Mark has read the Word of God this morning. So if you were present previously in the service, then you've got the first blessing. But now let's get down to the deeper level, the greater level. Because just because you've heard these words in your ears does not mean that you've truly heard. To truly hear the Word of God means to understand the Word of God. Wow. To understand. How many times had some of us heard, simply heard, before we truly heard? I remember my brother's testimony of how the Lord converted his heart. Am I correct? At the school, you were there with your mother helping her. I want you to ask one day, ask Brother Gables the day that he truly heard. Wow. To understand the Word of God. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, verse 10, we get some information here about the true blessedness, this blessedness of truly hearing. Mark chapter 4, verse 10. When he was alone, Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, Jesus speaking, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but to those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive. They may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." Hearing, they may hear and not understand. They may indeed hear, but not understand. You see, truly hearing the Word of God means understanding the Word of God. It is a blessing to truly hear and to truly understand the Word of God. If you have been, by God's grace, given this true hearing, I want you to realize the blessing that is upon you. Understanding of sin as disobedience to the Word of God. Understanding that sin is punishable by death. Understanding that everyone deserves to die eternally for their sins against Almighty God, the one who is holy, holy, holy. Understanding that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Understanding that for our sake, He made Him, the Father made the Son, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Understanding that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is a blessing, an understanding of the Word of God. Blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God, this true hearing. And of course, when God opens our ears, He first opens our ears to the gospel, to who Jesus is, to who we are as sinful people before Him. And as we continue, for the saint, there is a message in this as well. For the one who has been walking with God a long time, the gospel never gets old and it is the foundation. But God continues to give us this hearing, this true hearing from the Word of God. There are many more things that God gives us understanding as we walk with Him. It is a blessing to truly hear the Word of God. But let us look at this final statement in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Luke chapter 11, verse 28, this final statement. Many people have many different ideas of true blessedness. One thing, it is a blessing to hear, simply hear the Word of God. It's also a blessing to truly hear the Word of God, to understand it, to be able to receive it more deeply. And then finally, Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and keep it." Hear the Word of God and keep it. The blessing that Jesus describes here in verse 28 goes further than the mind. It goes further than the mind. True blessing from God involves keeping the Word of God. I want all of the fullness of God. I want His enrichment, His enablement, His blessing to be upon me, and I want His blessing fully to be upon you. What does this blessing involve? It is a blessing to keep the Word of God. Keeping the Word of God must begin with obeying the gospel. Keeping the Word of God must begin with obeying the gospel. For they've not all obeyed, we found out, and we could find in Romans chapter 10. But in John chapter 6, let's look at a couple verses as we think about this. Keeping the Word of God. John chapter 6 and verse 28. They said to Him, speaking to Jesus, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Verse 29, Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." That you believe in Him whom He has sent. Keeping the Word of God must begin with obeying the gospel. It's not only hearing the words. It's not only hearing the words and them having some effect on you, maybe bringing conviction upon your life, but it must go further. It must involve more than an intellectual assent to the truths of the Word of God, to the truths of the gospel. It must be a belief. Blessing comes when a person believes upon Jesus. We're thinking of keeping the Word of God. Blessing comes when a person believes on Jesus. Let's begin where the Christian life begins. Don't get in a hurry and don't get in a rush in your sanctification until you're very clear about your justification. And many times justification and sanctification are confused. How we become right with God versus the fact that becoming right with God, being justified by God, or being sanctified by God, growing in holiness. Many people will immediately want to run to keeping the Word of God as a big list. We must find the list and we must check it off to find out if we're going to have this true blessedness. But it seems as though we first must begin with our relationship with God, how He establishes us in this right relationship. We must first obey the gospel. We must first believe upon Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord. We must first confess our sins, for He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Keeping the Word of God would be to believe in Him whom He has sent, to believe in Jesus. Keeping the Word of God involves saving faith. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Keeping the Word of God involves saving faith. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5. Romans 4, verse 5, "To the one who does not work, but trusts in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. This one who trusts, this one who believes, this one who has faith in the Lord, Jesus himself, and the fact that God justifies the ungodly, that he is both just and the justifier. This is where the blessing of keeping the word of God must begin. Keeping the word of God, of course, would not stop with believing in Jesus or obeying the gospel or repenting of our sin. Keeping the word of God also would involve a fruitful life for the Lord. Now, maybe I should spend a lot of time on that idea of a fruitful life for the Lord. Jesus says, rather blessed is he who hears, the one who hears the word of God and keeps it. And maybe many people would think that the emphasis should be on a fruitful life. First, I want to make sure. First, I think it is important that we begin with the blessing of hearing the word of God truly, beginning to understand what the gospel is, and also beginning to obey the gospel. So this morning, I said you could forget ultimately the first part about it's a blessing to simply hear the word of God. But really, you ought not take that for granted. This morning, I want each one of us to be thankful for the exposure to the word of God, the exposure to the gospel that we have received. Again, everybody has not been blessed like you have. But then, I want you to move on and think of, have you truly heard? Have you truly heard? Do you understand? And not does it just reasonably make sense, the gospel, but have you begun to keep this word and obey this word? Is your trust built in nothing but Jesus Christ? For if you're trusting in your own work, if you're trusting in a biological relationship, some physical blessing, then you have not received the blessedness Jesus speaks of in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you, this woman cried out. But Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Have you heard and have you kept it? Have you truly trusted? Have you depending upon him? So in conclusion, let me remind you, the blessing of God is not merely physical. How many times have we heard people delighting and trusting, it seems like, primarily in the physical blessings that God provides? Praise him for all the ways that he has physically blessed us. Everything, what do we have that we have not received? Think about it. I mean, we have been blessed beyond measure physically. But the blessing of God in your mind should never stop with the physical. It is a blessing to hear every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is a blessing to truly hear the word of God with understanding. You might say, I don't know that I understand the gospel. What is the remedy? What is the solution? The solution is to go to the Lord. He calls us to himself. All those that are weary and heavy laden, and he will give us rest, even rest for our souls. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can you not find rest because you don't understand God's goodness and his grace in the gospel? you've not received his grace, go to him this morning. It is a blessing to keep the word of God by obeying the gospel. It is a blessing to understand the word of God. God is the one that indeed grants us this obedience to produce faith. God produces faith in us, gives us faith in his word that leads to a great obedience, that leads to a great obedience to the word of God. Let's begin at the first place. Let us begin with the blessedness that comes from knowing the Lord, believing on Jesus as our only hope. I want to close, and as I'm going to close in prayer, but also I will ask that we, as we close, really the reason I was thinking about this verse in particular, Luke chapter 11, verse 28, is we're having an opportunity to teach the kids scripture at the kindergarten there. Trisha's ministry to the kids probably is the most powerful ministry that's taken place there. She's setting the word of God to a song for the little kids there. And so, you know, I try to teach and teach and teach and get worn out, and I'm like, they're not learning anything. And then every once in a while, I hear off in a distance a little voice singing out the word of God. And I think, now that will benefit that child in the future, I believe. So as we've thought about this great blessing that comes from the word of God, the glorious truth contained in the scriptures, ultimately it's Jesus, the word who became flesh, the way by which we can have everlasting life. Let us bow before I close. I'll simply sing that tune of this verse. Let us bow. Blessed are those who hear the word of God, hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God, hear the word of God and keep it. If you can, I invite you to join me in singing through that chorus a couple of times. Blessed are those who hear the word of God, hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God, hear the word of God and keep it. Father, we bow to you, thanking you for the way that you have blessed us so richly. Thank you for blessing us with your word. Thank you for blessing us with the ability to hear and to understand. Lord, we confess that apart from your gift of opening our ears, everything would be in parable to us. Everything would be hearing, but not understanding. We thank you for giving us understanding of the gospel. We thank you for your grace to give us a fruitful life, to enable us to not only believe in Jesus, not only to confess our sins and flee only to him as our Savior, the one who was slain, the one who did not deserve to die, but yet died in our place, taking our punishment, that we can be forgiven, we can be reconciled, the ransom has been paid, we can now be the children of God. Thank you for these blessings that we find in your word. And Lord, I ask for your grace more and more that we might keep your word. Let us walk in obedience. Let us please you, for there is no greater one to please than you, Father. Just as Jesus was always about his Father's business, did not speak words other than his Father's word, may we have such a life, I pray. I do ask that you would bless your word now that has gone out this morning, previous, and in the reading of Scripture, and this time, and even this afternoon. Would you bless it to the good of our souls and to the glory of your great name? It's through Jesus alone that we have hope for everlasting life, and it's through Jesus alone that I lift up this prayer. Amen.